Hello, everyone. It's been too long. It's been far too long, but what can I say? Here we are. I'm Pete Lyons, as you know, from Schumacher Racing, and I'm here to present another episode of 300, the RC Racing Podcast, with my co-host present, always here with me, around the fire, having our chat. It's Alexander Hayward from X Factory UK. Good evening, Alexander.
Hello, Peter.
That's exactly how we say my name, Alexander. Peter. Now, to explain that rather lame joke, there's more where that came from that we can start off with. That is Mark Hall of the Midwest BRCA region in England. Mark Hall's reference to me, he always says that, doesn't he? Peter, yes. Alexander, because I think he thinks I sound like that normally. I don't think I do, but hey, what do I know? I don't particularly listen to the show back, so it's good to hear that other people do listen to it, which there are many of you. Can I just say thank you? We smashed through the 1,200 individual listens some time ago on the last show, I have to say. So we're pushing on. We're really grateful to all of you listeners out there tuning in, listening to our nonsense, talking about RC and all sorts of things. We're really grateful. Share our podcast about, let your mates know. And it's great, you know. And Alexander, you're joining me. How have you been?
Pretty good, Pete. Lots of racing, as usual.
Yes, addicted to racing, like Robert
racing
Plant. Yes, and I can say regionals mostly and nationals. So we've had round one. I mean, it's been that long. We've had round one of the nationals at the fantastic, it must be said, Robin Hood Raceway venue, which is in Nottinghamshire Way. Up near Maltby, for our international listeners. It's a great undulating, fast sweeping astro track. It's really terrific. It was a wonderful turnout of Robin Hood, wasn't there, Alexander? The weather was with us, apart from one round, which really ruined my four-wheel drive scores completely and dropped me down at least the final, which I was a bit annoyed about, but that's how it goes. But it was a really good event, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, fantastic. I think it was fully subscribed for both days, so 120 drivers on both Saturday and Sunday, and there were no shows, so everyone turned up both days, I believe.
It was really unfortunate, wasn't it? Yeah, that's correct. It was really unfortunate if you were like reserve number one, desperately hoping to get that shout, and then
normally one of these meetings you get at least one or two no shows, or you know, someone on the night before cancels because they're poorly or whatever. But yeah, there was literally no shows, which I think actually they had last year as well. And there's certainly the only kind of venue that I can ever remember having no shows. So it was fantastic, really well supported.
Yes, that wouldn't surprise me. Robin Hood was last year was the first, was the opening round as well.
It was, yeah, for the last 2 years.
And it was a fantastic event, as I say. James Helliwell, Stephen Pierce and the whole crew that are involved in putting on the event, they always put on a brilliant event, and we can't thank them enough for all the work they put in. The Bradby Cup at Robin Hood is also superb. We were there, myself and Abe, and for people who don't know what the Bradby Cup is about, it's four rounds to count, so every round counts. With finals and bump up finals, so that's a very exciting format, but it's very pressurized, if you like, because you can't afford failures or mistakes. So Robin Hood also put that on. That was brilliant. I went to their recent Easter egg meeting. That was also superb, where I had the wonderful experience of Abe getting in the A final and me being BQ. he was terrific in the A final. He was racing around with Laura Hicklin and Eugene and others. And the funny thing, I was so proud, as I said to you, Alexander is he looked totally at home. He didn't look out of place in it.
Yeah.
So I'm pleased with his development. I had an absolutely horrendous final and finished last. I gave up in the end because I got left on the roof in the middle of the track for about 10 seconds. It was just no point. But that's how it goes sometimes, not to worry.
That's racing.
But yeah, that is racing. Now, who said that? Who said that? Who said that to you?
That's something Neil Craig said to me at the Euros in Pinerolo. He was in the two-wheel drive finals. I think he was going really well. I had some bad luck. I think he got caught with someone going over the back triples. And I said to him afterwards, "Unlucky, Neil, you were driving great in that final. You deserve more, etc." I went, "Hey, mate, that's racing." And he just took it completely as if nothing had happened kind of thing. But it completely ruined his two-wheel drive championship. Or the hope of a podium, but he was just like, yeah, whatever, just took it in his stride.
Yeah, well, I was there and I didn't see that event or that actual sort of incident. But that's Neil all over, really. Top guy, class act, and he's right. As much as it can be hard to take at times, that is racing, and that's how it goes.
Yeah.
So what we should really say, that's racing. Copyright. N. Craig 2017, isn't it? I think that's the right way we should phrase that. You can't take that one for yourself. I'm not letting that one by. But that is racing. And Robin Hood was great. You did really well, I thought, if I remember the national results, didn't you?
Yeah, I was quite pleased. I made the E-final in both 2 and 4. Didn't really have the best finals. Got caught up with a couple of drivers a few times and... I think
that's racing.
That's racing. Had some bad luck.
Copyright
in the finals.
N. Craig 2017.
But the I qualified. I thought I could have passed in a little bit better. I was hoping for perhaps the final up, but I was in the E final for both, which betters my best ever result there, which was a G final. And before that, I think a H final. So it's gone in the right direction. But I think it's one of those tracks when we spoke a lot since that, since the national. About Robin Hood, and like I say, it's a fantastic venue. The track's awesome. It's one of those places that you perhaps need to go to a few times to kind of get the hang of. We here in the West Midlands, the region that me and you both race in, we don't really have any tracks anything like Robin Hood, do we? You know, with the undulation changes and
not really,
and the kind of jumps they have, and the racing surface is a little bit different as well. It's quite a big track, so it's a bit of a shock going to somewhere like that. When we used to race on the smaller tracks we have here in the Midlands. So perhaps if I could have made it to the Bradby Cup the few weeks before the National, I might have done a bit better. But on the whole, I was looking back, I was really pleased actually with 2 E-finals. It's probably about what I could have hoped for.
I think it's very, very good myself. The Nationals are so tight these days. I mean, I seem to remember that in Robin Hood and two-wheel drive, you had about 80 people on the same lap. So it's all seconds. One mistake is so costly. It really is. Robin Hood was terrific. We've had that. I have to say, personally, I was very proud that Abe was the top under 13 in 2 and 4-wheel drive and the top F3 and 4-wheel drive. He's getting on so well with the Schumacher cars. I'm so pleased for him. I really am. And I hope that progression continues. I've no doubt that it will. I've been running the laydown, which is obviously still hotly anticipated out there. I'm getting on very well with that. I think it's a terrific car. It's very easy to drive, actually. Very predictable, which I like. It lets you concentrate on where you want to put the car rather than worrying about what it's going to do. So I know that obviously in the States and other territories will be excited about the new release of the Schumacher laydown. But obviously we had a new winner in 4-wheel drive at Robin Hood, which was Elliott Boots.
We did.
Yes, that was, I have to say, it was really exciting to watch. I was marshalling one of the finals, so I think I didn't get to see that one particularly, obviously, because I'm trying to pay attention. But that was the one with the controversial result at the end. However, what I can say, anybody who knows about it, we were all told at driver's briefing, which if you were there, you'll know, we were told we had to make the corner. We had to make the corner and Lee Martin didn't make the corner, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Although I can't remember whether he went over the line first or not, but it was a dive for the line, which I think any winner would have done, and Lee Martin certainly a winner. But we'd all been told. So Elliot won on his debut run, I think, wasn't it?
It was the first time he'd even ran the S-Works four-wheel drive. He hadn't run it, even in practice, you know, the weeks before. It was literally, he got the car, I think, on the Saturday morning, at the start of the National, and raced it, obviously raced two-wheel drive on Saturday and then four-wheel drive on Sunday. But they were his first runnings of the car. That's the first time he'd seen the cars. I think someone actually built them for him, because he obviously is quite tied up with the eight stuff he does, and I think he lives abroad now. So he literally turned up, the cars were ready for him, he raced them, and then he won the four-wheel drive meet. So
I think it might have been David Burton who built them, I think.
I think it was actually. I think you're right. It was David Burton that ran them, that built them for him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has to be said, in the finals, as we know, the first final in the four-wheel drive, if you were there, was rain-affected. So the track changed completely. So the A final was out on a wet track after the rain. I believe Lee Martin won the first leg, if I remember, with maybe Elliot second in that one.
And then I think it might have been.
And then the second final, it was Elliot's. Elliot took it, but that's a controversial finish we've just spoken about. And then in the third leg, I believe it was Neil who won, but Lee had an accident very early on, which cost him quite a lot of time. And all Elliot had to do then was beat Neil on that particular leg, and he took the win. But it has to be said, in that second leg, sorry, in the first leg, when we had the rain, you could really see Elliot's kind of 1/8 kind of ability coming through. When the car was kind of drifting around, and obviously four-wheel drive cars drifted around the track on a wet, slippery track, he was just so quick in that wet. He was just ridiculous.
It was certainly very exciting.
Yeah.
I think that it brings a welcome shake-up, if you like, because Neil and Lee, so Neil Craig and Lee Martin, have been right at the top for a while now, and closely followed, obviously, by Tom Yardy. There's been others, obviously, people there who just, you know, just outside of that top two, if you like.
Yeah.
Who've done very well, Danny McGee and others, Lloyd, Story, so on and so forth. But it kind of, to get a different winner, I think certainly will shake things up. So we've Kidderminster National, which is a mixed surface track, for anybody who doesn't know it. So we've got Astro, almost like brick paving, haven't we, and tarmac at the Kidderminster track. So I think that'll be it's quite a tight track. I love it. I really love Kidderminster, but I know that it's quite snug, isn't it? So for our international listeners, it's a bit multi-service, and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with regards to the next national. I mean, Lee did win two-wheel drive, didn't he, at Robin Hood, and I think was Neil second.
Yeah, Neil was second. I think it's Neil TQ'd, and then Lee was second on the grid, but Lee won the two-wheel drive.
So Kidderminster National coming up. You will be there, will you not?
I shall. I will be indeed.
Yes, good. Yes, as will I. And Abe, so we're very much looking forward to that, which is weekend next. We have Telford four-wheel drive regional this weekend. Telford being a all Astro track in the Midwest, bigger than Kidderminster. Very much looking forward to that for our international listeners. So you can imagine it's quite square, isn't it? Kidderminster, Telford. With nice sort of jumps and undulating off camber bits and so on and so forth. So it's pretty good. So I have to say, regionals wise, as we're talking about regionals, just shifting in my chair here by the fireside, you've been looking really, really good. Really good.
Cheers, Pete.
May I say. So we've had two-wheel drive, haven't we not, at Junction 16 indoor regional. And we've just had two-wheel drive regional at Coventry, your home track, home of the chalky challenge. Shay Ashforth. So how did you get on?
Yeah, good, actually. I think it's my second best regional finish to date, following the last meeting at Tour Drive last year at Oswestry, which we won't mention too much about because Ben Pugh is a little bit salty about that one. The start overtaking him at the start of each final. He eventually did beat me at that one, but yeah, finished third at Oswestry last year. But this for Coventry, this last week I finished sixth with a strong turnout of around about 85 drives, I think, actually.
It was 85, yes.
But I was really pleased qualifying seventh, finishing sixth, especially as I'm sure you'll agree, Pete, the regionals now seem to be getting harder and harder in our Midwest region with more F1s than ever. And it's just, yeah, real good turnout of drivers now.
There was 11 F1s there on Sunday.
11 F1s. Yeah. And to finish sixth, I was over the moon with. But you and A both had fantastic results as well. I know you perhaps got a little bit unlucky in qualifying, so you didn't quite make the final I think you deserve to be in, shall we say. But you showed that probably by kind of sailing away with it in your final, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Listen, it's weird. You are where you are. It's like the Football League table. They say that the table never lies, but there's always a bigger story. And the Schumacher laydown was really good in qualifying. I could go, it started off with ball diff. I dropped in the gear diff when it was appropriate. It was so easy to do that because of the quick change. The little tweaks I made to the setup were terrific on the laydown. And it's like the points didn't quite work. Yeah. In my favour. And I don't know if people understand that, but sometimes it just doesn't seem to quite go your way in the right rounds. And that's, you have the pace, but yeah, it's like in round four, I didn't particularly crash. It was good, but it's too late then. Everybody's got the track by then. Yeah. And I was on a really good one in round two, but it didn't happen for one reason and another. And that's the way it goes. And so, yeah, I qualified in the C final, but I just was, you know, I got clear and I just drove off with it. I was really pleased about that, you know, that's how it happens. But it was a good time. And, I guess I was most pleased that Abe yet again out qualified me and was up in the B final. And he had a terrific race with Phil Channon and was chasing James Evans for quite some time before he made a slight... He overcooked it into a corner and it slid on some sand and lost a bit of time. But he looked terrific. And I was just really pleased to see how well he did. So he's had two B finals in Midwest now. Yeah. And when you consider, like, he's up there in the B final in the Midwest, that's pretty good, really. Yeah. You know, with like you say, 85 drivers, and I just can't catch him anymore. I haven't beaten him since the Bradby Cup, you know.
So I'm guessing by this kind of pattern of results, Pete, then it is now time that we have decided that Abe isn't enjoying it as much as he perhaps used to. So you are going to call it a day on both yours and his racing career.
Yeah.
And take up another sport such as squash or miniature golf.
Crazy golf.
Yeah, crazy golf.
The outcome of all of this is, yes, I have now the big announcement for tonight's show is there will be no more shows and we're not racing anymore because Abe says he doesn't enjoy it. No, the amount of times that people have said to me, it's time to hang up the transmitter. Can I just say, for the record, that isn't going to happen. Okay. That's not happening. Because I'm still decently quick and I've actually got quicker this season. I've definitely got quicker this season, looking at all the results, where I used to be and where I am now. There's no question about that. You've seen it yourself, haven't you, mate?
I mean,
Richie Thorne raised an important point because I was like saying, oh, I don't know whether how much faster I can go, da, 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 da. He said, how long have you been back racing? Because obviously I used to race in the late 80s and early 90s when I was pretty good back then. And he said, well, now that you come back, you don't actually know where your limit is yet. So yeah. I hadn't really thought of it that way. So let's see what happens. The only thing, the only things, actually plural, that would make me quit would be, number one, if it was affecting Abe's progression, and it's not at the moment. Or number two, that I didn't enjoy it anymore. Yeah. And I still enjoy it. And Abe and I work together on the cars. And, you know, we have good people around us who help out. So it's okay. I don't see any reason to knock it on the head yet. If I decide that, you know, I need to focus 100% on building cars, then that's what I'll do. But at the moment, I've a very understanding wife. I have a room in my house where I do all of my work, and she's more than happy to see me in it. So I have plenty of time to do it all at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'll keep on going. But yeah, he's really taken off this season, and I'm very pleased with his progression. And he's got a lot of people rooting for him and in his corner that always helps, from Trish and at Schumacher and Lloyd and others. It all helps, you know, with people helping out and giving advice. I have to say, I something else that has come to mind that I really ought to clarify, along with me not quitting, was poor old Freddie Russell, who we all know and love Freddie Russell, top guy. He recently got inundated after I hashtagged Freddie Russell is a disgrace onto a race report I wrote. Everyone was messaging Freddie Russell saying, what's this about? Okay, so I think he set the record straight, but it actually goes back to Robin Hood. A little bit of a story for you, because I still laugh about this. I know Freddie still laughs about it as well. So if he's listening, I think he's probably chuckling away right now. Basically, in two-wheel drive at the Robin Hood National, Freddie and I were in the same final. And the final was just a mess from start to finish is the word. Even I think it might have been Tony Evdoka on the mic was like commenting about people who should know better and the race just looking like a complete mess, carnage. It was carnage from the first corner to the last. And it was one of those, this has never happened to me before. Okay. I can categorically say this. When Freddie and I were driving through the infield, we both went for a gap on the infield, which clearly ended up not being there. But like I say, if you're a racer and you don't go for the gap, well, as long as it's clean. This unfortunately wasn't clean, but it was completely accidental, because I can tell you this now, Freddie and I have absolute respect for each other's driving. And we're not takeout merchants, and neither one of us would do this to each other intentionally. But for some strange reason, we ended up hitting each other and spinning round and somehow ending up marooned on the hosepipe, both facing in the opposite directions to the track and opposite directions to each other. It was ludicrous. I actually started laughing. It was that ridiculous what had actually happened.
Yeah.
And John Cockhill, the national referee, who does a terrific job, John, as we know, said over the mic, 7 and 10, which were our numbers, sort it out, that's a beep disgrace, which we both were laughing at so much during the race and afterwards. It's become a bit of a catchphrase now, 7 and 10, sort it out, that's a you-know-what disgrace. And I've never had that said to me before about my driving, ever. And it was just a classic national moment that was meant to be serious. I'm sure John was serious, but Freddie and I could not stop laughing about it because it was so stupid what happened. Completely accidental. And the fact that the two of us were called an absolute disgrace is a feather in my cap, actually. And
it's an achievement, Pete. Well done.
Thank you. It was a classic Robin Hood moment. But which reminds me, you have a meme to make, haven't you?
A meme to make?
You do. Do Ooh. You not remember me mentioning to you about the famous scene? Somebody's ears might be pricking up now because he may know what I'm talking about, Mr. James Helliwell. There was a famous scene from Family Guy about, have you got the money?
Yeah. Have you got the money? Now, is that when James Helliwell threatened you to pay up for your use of
it was quite the reverse, actually.
Oh, what was it? Oh, you threatened James Helliwell?
No, well, not exactly threatening, although it was threatening. Basically, I had left money for James for the use of his electric. So for people who don't know, Robin Hood has the amazing provision of a covered pitting area. It's almost like it's a metal warehouse type outbuilding. And there's loads of electric power for all of us racers to use. And all James asks for is £1 per person per day. So it's a total winner. Don't have to have your generator or anything like that. And I'd left money with, I think it was with Stephen Pearce, up in race control. And it was a bit chilly, the weather. I think this was at the Bradby Cup, actually. And I had a snood on. So I looked like some sort of cowboy.
Sounds a bit rude, but okay.
Gangster, you know, it's just sort of like covering everything apart from my eyes, and I had a cap on, and I walked up to James and I said, have you got the money? I think it was. And he looked at me like, what? I said, have you got the money? It was just one of those moments, and he thought it was particularly amusing. So you have to put your head together with Richie Thorne and make the meme that I think James deserves from that event. So just a reminder there. Just a reminder.
I'm on it.
What can we talk about now? Okay, I want to just give a quick plug, if I may, to Kit Jones of the Midwest region. Everybody, Kit Jones is an absolutely lovely guy, and he has set up his own business called Composite Kit. Play on words there. Works, you see. Composite Kit, buy kit, but it's compositekit.com, I think. And he has made myself and Abe the most terrific carbon wing buttons. It's more of a one piece with our names on. And he can do various bespoke carbon pieces of equipment for your RC car and others. You've seen it, haven't you, mate? I showed it to you at the weekend, I think.
They're awesome, yeah. Really, really cool, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to give him a mention because he's obviously starting out on his own, which is never easy. I wanted to give him a bit of a leg up. So anybody listening to this podcast, which there are hundreds, if you want any carbon bespoke equipment, Kit Jones is your man. So you can get hold of him through Facebook, Kit Jones, or Composite Kit. Online, I think it's compositekit.com.
I've just double checked it, and it's
check it out.
Compositekit.co.uk is the website.
Compositekit.co.uk.
.co.uk, and they do. As you know, like I said, the wing buttons just like battery straps, and it will take orders for specific items that you want. I'm guessing things like shock towers and all those bits and pieces. But yeah, they look really, really cool. And in fact, you can see on his recent.
He's just done a B6 strap, hasn't he? I think.
Yeah, just going to be B6 battery strap. And on the wing buttons, examples that you can see on there, yours and Abe's are on there on his site.
Yes.
Which is quite cool to see.
It is excellent. And I need that because I can't tell our cars apart. So my L1 and Abe's L1 and our two-wheel drives, both they have Dash electrics in. We're supported by Dash. I don't I can't tell whose cars is whose because the servos and everything all looks the same. So I end up putting little stickers in sometimes, some of which you've seen, that help me identify whose car is whose. But the wing buttons definitely help because it's got my name on and Abe's name on. It's a bit like having left and right on your socks, like you do.
I still got it wrong every morning.
Yeah, so that's very, very helpful. I just wanted to give that shout to Kit because his stuff's really, really good. And if you need anything, he's your man. Get in touch. Yeah. So I can say now at this point, it's time for a brand new feature on 300, which is going to be a permanent fixture on the podcast. We have got a new quiz for Alexander Hayward called Hey or Nay.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah, Hey or Nay. So I have to give credit. Aidan Burke, Aidan Burke from another podcast, Good Listen, Extra Lap with Joey Cockhill, son of said head referee John. Who called myself and Freddie Russell absolute disgraces. He said that he particularly likes our irreverent stupidity and our quizzes. So I felt it was appropriate that I thought of a permanent quiz that we could have every week, which the listeners... on the podcast, at home, traveling to RC race meetings, wrenching on their cars, whatever it may be. And also, this won't matter where you live in the world because it's about films. So anybody can take part. I think it'd be a bit of fun. And I also have to tell the listeners that I also believe that you were grown in an egg and were emerged from that egg probably only last week, fully grown, because I have never met a person in all of my life as completely and utterly ignorant of movies as you.
You, Peter, you've missed all the good ones. That's the thing. You've seen all the rubbish ones, all the non-cult classics, and I have seen the modern-day cult classics, all the proper films.
And what would they be?
Let's see, Twister. That's a good one.
Twister, well,
one of my favourites comes from my geography roots. Twister, like Twister. Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Another very good film. the list is endless as to the classics that I do enjoy.
Dumb and Dumber does have its moments that I do particularly like.
It is a good one.
For example, I think it's the laxative scene. Is always good value for money. And
when he's pouring the toilet out of the window because the flush is broken to try and clear it up.
The flush is broken. That's horrific. And Twister, of course, with the late, great Bill Paxton.
Fantastic, yeah.
An actor very much missed, whom I have first... was it called Near Dark vampire film? With like Jeanette Goldstein and others who were also in Aliens, which he was in.
Aliens.
He was also obviously in The Terminator, often worked with James Cameron. But Bill Paxton gone before his time.
One of the final movies that people do forget he was in was Titanic. He was at the start, he was one of the guys that was.
He was one of the treasure hunters.
He was, yeah. That's one of his finer performances. I think you will agree.
I love Bill Paxton pretty much anything, to be honest. But I mean, Titanic. Before we get to the quiz, we've moved on now from racing to more irreverent.
We're going to move on from.
Survey. Was it no? Keith's appraisal. Don't know. Keith's appraisal.
Very much so. Don't know.
Always the same.
Don't know. If don't know wasn't an answer, what would you say?
Yeah.
Do you want the answers again? Do you want the answers?
Don't know. Let's leave that. Titanic. How could she throw that jewel in the ocean? After all, did she have no sympathy? Did she have no sympathy? Selfish woman. Selfish.
Selfish.
Did she have no sympathy for poor old Bill Paxton? You know, yeah. Trying to find it. You know, it's no good. So, right, I need a pen because you can earn 3 points, basically.
Ooh,
3 points for each question. Okay. So, what we're going to do is I will give you the dialogue from a scene in a film, which I will also try to do in character. This is part of the amusement.
Okay.
Yeah, amusement in inverted commas. You can get a point for telling me what film it's from, who said it, and also a point if you can tell me what that actor's name was.
Okay, so you do realise, Pete, that I'm not going to get any of these right. I'm never going to have heard of any of these films, or even know who the actors are, unless it's Bill Paxton and Twister.
I think this is to prove a point. I'm not mocking you or ridiculing you live on a podcast for any other reason than I wish to justify my assumption that you were grown in an egg to the entire racing community. But it's a bit of fun because they can also play along. But I bet you they'll get it. These are not obscure films. I haven't picked out something, you know, from Fangoria. a horror niche magazine release, something you must see, made in 1976 by Dario Argento or
I probably would have got some of those.
yeah you probably would have got those, right? So here we go, question one, the little man don't want to come to me, then I'll come to you people and lay out the truth. I'm rank one, that means I'm the best, but this bum been taking the easy matches, fighting other bums. I'm telling you and everybody here, I fight him anywhere, anytime, for nothing. But you people ain't never going to see that happen because he's going to retire. You see, he don't fight no real man. He fight them setups. So,
right.
What film?
Okay.
What film?
I'm going to go... I haven't got a clue. Let me just say that out.
It's not called that.
I haven't got a clue, but I'm guessing Rocky.
Which one?
This is, I wouldn't have a clue. Two?
No.
Oh.
So who
I
said
think,
it?
I think I should, I wouldn't have a clue on that one. The guy who plays Mr. T, but he is in that film, based on the accent he was putting on. He sounds like Mr. T from the 80s.
Okay, I'll give you a point for that, because it was Mr. T. It was Mr. T.
Yeah.
What character did he play?
I don't know the names. I have actually seen like probably one or two of the Rocky films, but I do not name the names of the character other than Rocky himself. If you told me, I probably would recognise the name. Go for it.
Okay, I'd have even given you a bonus point if you had got his first name, because most people don't know the first name. It's Clubber Lang.
Oh God! I tell you what, where I would have got that from. Ted, another great film. They Ted when he wants to become human, he's in the court and he has to choose a human name. And the name he chose was Clubber Lang. I should have known that, because I knew that was from Rocky as well. Oh.
See, this is not only information, this is educational. So it's edutainment for our listeners and for you, because you're going to start watching films now. So 1 point, well done on Mr. T. It was actually Rocky 3. And it's James Lang. James Clubber Lang. Most people obviously just know Clubber Lang. He wasn't born called Clubber. His name was James. Okay, so here's another one for you. Okay, question two. Okay, you're not in Kansas anymore. You are on Pandora, ladies and gentlemen. Respect that fact every second of every day. If there is a hell, you might want to go there for the R&R after a tour on Pandora. Who was that, and in what film?
Avatar.
Correct.
I tell you what.
Ka-ching! Ding, ding, ding!
Google is a wonderful tool.
You're better not be.
It's Avatar, but I only just found out because I've never seen it.
Okay.
I tell you what, I actually started watching Avatar and turned off after about 4 minutes. I wasn't enjoying it. So you may as well give me no points for that one. And
ladies and gentlemen, Alexander Hayward, I turned on Avatar and off after 4 minutes.
4 minutes. Yeah. So we'll move on from that one. We'll leave
that one. It doesn't mean that it's a great film just to get made loads of money, but I think it did clear a billion. So lots of people saw it.
Yeah, I can see why people liked it from the clips that I've seen. But it wasn't my kind of thing, really.
The real funny thing was that I watched it at the cinema and I did really enjoy it. And that was actually Colonel James Quaritch who said that, who is played by an absolutely wonderful actor called Stephen Lang.
Clubber Lang.
Now, no, not Clubber, Stephen. But yeah, Stephen Clubber Lang. I wonder if he does get called Clubber in his spare time. Wonderful. He's a wonderful actor. And the thing was, though, is since I've watched Avatar back, I've actually thought it's crap. I'm sorry. okay. I've just been laughing at these stupid blue cat people, and the whole thing. Do you know what? I wanted them to bulldoze that jungle. I actually start laughing now. Now when Stephen Lang blows their sacred tree into tomorrow with all of his missiles, I actually start laughing. So I know that's not meant to be the reaction, but that's how I find it now. But Stephen Lang, incidentally, plays in another film I absolutely love, which is Tombstone. Not the Tombstone with Kevin Costner, but the Tombstone with Kurt Russell. Stephen Lang plays absolutely wonderful, his actual real character in history called Ike Clanton. And it's an absolutely superb performance he puts in. I can wholeheartedly recommend it to you, although you'll never watch it, and all of the listeners. So look, this one's a lot. You have 2 points out of a possible six so far.
I don't deserve the Avatar. Do I get a point for the Rocky? For guessing it was Rocky?
You get a point for guessing it was Mr. T. Okay. And you've got a point for saying Avatar. But did you Google that?
I'll Google that. So no points.
No, I'm not having that. That is rank cheating, and you have 1 point out of a possible six.
I am as bad as John Higgins. I will in the quiz world, shall we say?
I will give you 0.5. I'll actually give you half a point for being honest. I'll give you half a point for being honest. So, one's not...
Honestly, I'm away from the computer now. No more Googling.
Good. No more Googling. No more Googling. Yeah. Right. So here's the next one. This isn't easy, I must say. The Durango 95 purred away real horror show. A nice, warm, vibratory feeling all through your guttywuts. Soon, it was treason dark, my brothers, with a real country dark. We fillied around for a while with other travellers of the night, playing hogs of the road. Then we headed west. What we were after now was the old surprise visit. That was a real kick, and good for laughs and lashings of the old ultra-violence. Now, you'll either know that or you won't.
I don't know, but I'm going to guess, based on one of the words that you said. Django Unchained?
No.
Okay, I've got a clue then.
Django. How on earth did you get Django Unchained from that?
Because you said Django at the beginning, did you?
Durango.
Oh, Durango. Like the car brand. Is it an RC movie?
No, it's not an RC movie, but it is the same spelling and the same word. Some quite famous references in there. Durango 95 being one of them. The word real horror show, gutty what?
Right.
Ultra violence. That's a massive clue. Now, like I say, you'll either know it or you won't. But movie fans should know that one easy.
No.
So this is going to be another zero score. Yes, that's a character called Alex DeLarge, who was played by Malcolm McDowell. In the absolute classic, and one of my absolute favourites, a film called A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, I have heard the film, but I haven't seen it. As you would have expected.
Listeners, what am I to do with this man? You've not seen A Clockwork Orange. You are a mess of a man.
Disgrace of a man.
You're a disgrace. John Cockill is right now rolling his eyes, saying you're a disgrace. Yeah. He really is. Okay, so that's a big zero. So you're at 1.5 points of a possible nine so far.
Doing well. I can still
win. Doing well. So here's another one. You've got to get this. If you don't get this, I will never forgive you.
Okay.
There's two characters in this. Okay. And I want the second character.
Right.
Okay. Who will give the most obvious answer. Okay. And you will get it. You must get this. Okay. So, my fear is that my sons will never understand me. How? We won again. This is good. But what is best in life? The open step, a fleet horse, falcons in your wrist, and the wind in your hair. Wrong! What is best in life? Now, this is the character I want.
Okay.
To quash your enemies, to see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentations of the women. That is good. Who was that? And what film?
I don't know.
Oh my God!
give me a clue.
I'll say it to you again. Listen to the accent. Although it's not very good.
I can tell there's an accent in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's not the best, but I'll try again. To quash your enemies, to see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentations of the women. So that isn't a night out with you, by the way.
I'm guessing by the tone you're using now, that's an Australian accent, Pete. Am I right?
Oh my God!
No, it's I'm guessing it's it African, somewhere in Africa based accent.
Or when you know who this is, it's absolutely brilliant. African?
Is it actually that bad?
No, it's that bad.
Tell me the accent. Tell me the accent, then. Tell me where the.
I'll just do it normally. So the character says, "To crush your enemies, to see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentations of their women." Okay, who would say something like that in an action film? And it's not Mick Dundee.
That's not a knife. Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Come on.
So one point for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, Pete, so who was he playing in the film of his own name? I can't give you many more hints there.
In the film of his own name?
Yes, so the character, the name of the film is the same as the character.
Oh, Terminator.
Oh my God.
No,
the Terminator.
He wasn't a...
He was the Terminator, but he never said to crush your enemies, to see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentations of their women. No. I'm going to give you one more chance at this. People at home now are screaming.
Oh, my God.
The Terminator.
Am I really that film illiterate? I think so. So, an Arnie film.
It's an early Arnie film.
Right. I probably wouldn't have seen it, to be honest. The most obvious answer that's screaming to me is Twins.
They are the greatest answers ever. Terminator and Twins. You would say that was Danny DeVito saying it. I should have thought, wasn't it? To crush your enemy, see them driven for you, and hear lamentations of the women.
I'm out. You're so close.
Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, I know the film now. You've said it. I've not seen it, but I know the name. I know the name of the film.
Okay, Conan the Barbarian. Yeah. You should know the name of the film, really. You should. So yes, Conan of the film, obviously of his own name, that wasn't the sequel, which was Conan the Destroyer, featuring a rather frightening looking Grace Jones.
Grace Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't the best film, to be honest with you. Mind you, neither was Conan the Barbarian, but it was quite fun. So,
what year was Conan the Barbarian out?
Oh, 84.
Years off, boy. Okay, early 80s. And what have you got for what date was Rocky 3 out?
Rocky 3? That was when the A-Team was coming to its peak. That's how we got... Are you questioning me now?
Okay. So when was that, right? In the 80s sometime, do you think?
Rocky 3? Yeah. I reckon Rocky 3 was around, 85 to 88. Now, because I think Rocky was 78.
Right.
77, 78, which makes a sequel with Apollo Creed probably around 82. I reckon 85, 86, 87, maybe even as late as 88 would have been Rocky 3, I reckon.
And then the last one we had was Clockwork Orange. What year was that one? Do you know when that was released?
Yeah. Oh, I haven't watched it for a little while. I actually think it was late 70s because it was embargoed. It was embargoed for years.
Yeah.
After the whole to do with people missing the whole point of the film, basically. Okay. And the director, Kubrick pulled it for a very long time. I think it was re-released in 1999, if I remember correctly. But you could barely see it before then. So I think it was late 70s. Go on.
So for the just for reference for the listeners at home, I was born in 87. So nearly all the films apart from Avatar were made and popular before I was even on this planet. So in my defence, maybe that holds in my defence a little bit, I think. But there I agree. I should have perhaps seen, or like they are kind of classics. I should have perhaps watched. I think probably I probably have watched Rocky.
Yeah. Well, the first one was an Oscar winner. It is definitely in your favour, as being not something you should feel bad about. It is only fun. So I hope you're not. I'll try and do you know what? Next podcast, I'll pick newer films.
Slightly newer. But we've still got one to go on this one.
We have got one to go. I was laughing so much when I did this, though, because it reminded me of the quiz in The Office with Gareth Keenan and him being asked, are all the questions based on military and survival? Yeah. Wasn't it?
No, I've got one on the Suez Canal. It's like, which canal links something with the Egyptian?
Yeah. I've got one on the Suez Canal. Question six. Which canal links? Yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah. That was. They were all like, how to kill a man with a thimble and a piece of potato, you know, or something. It was absolutely wonderful, that episode of The Office. It really was. Yes, you know, it was. The quiz. Frey Bentos.
That's a real quiz. That's the real quiz.
Yeah, that's the real quiz. Throwing your shoe over the building. he's thrown a kettle over a pub. What have you done? You know, Blockbusters. Yeah. Wonderful episode that was.
Heard all about Blockbusters and all that. I don't do anything all day, but I need more money to do it.
Yeah. What were the books he was talking about as well with the student film? Was it Alexander Solzhenitsyn? Or it was...
what's his name? Dostoevsky.
Dostoevsky. He always had an answer and you'd see him go away really annoyed. And then, you know one of my favourite actors? Sidney Poitier. Somebody actually had a great suggestion, and it might have been Brendan Nunn. Who said we should do an episode solely based on The Office and our favourite moments. Now that would be funny. So maybe
span across more than one episode of our podcast.
I think it would. I think it would.
So many good moments.
I think that's one for the future. We are currently sitting at 2.5 points out of possible
12.
Yeah, 12. If I've counted that up right. Yep. So number four. And the final one.
Yeah.
Now this is one you might know because it's quite funny and it's a bit of a classic film, really. Okay. We're very lucky in the band that we have two visionaries, David and Nigel. They're like poets, like Shelley and Byron. They're two distinct types of visionaries. It's like fire and ice. Basically, I feel my role in the band is to be somewhere in the middle of that, kind of like lukewarm water. Absolutely brilliant line, delivered in a wonderful film, possibly one of the funniest films ever made, aside from The Life of Brian, in my opinion. Who was that? In what film and played by what actor?
I think I'm going to stick with my 2.5 points out of 15, Nate, because I do not know.
That's all right. It's another one a bit like Clockwork Orange. If you've seen it, you've seen it. If you haven't, you haven't. That was Derek Smalls is the character, who is the bass player out of This Is Spinal Tap. Honestly, one of the funniest rockumentaries made. A forerunner of things like The Office, played by the wonderful comic actor Harry Shearer. Just a brilliant, brilliant film. And the first time I can tell you I watched that film, I was in tears of laughter at it. There's so many great lines in it, from the classic these amplifiers go to 11. The whole scene involving the Stonehenge monument. People who know the film will know what I'm talking about. And the new theme of the band worked out by the lead singer, David St. Hubbins' girlfriend, when she draws astrological makeup faces on them. It's just ludicrous. Great film and well worth seeing. So not too bad. You've actually got 2.5 more points than I thought you'd get. So 2.5 It's all right. 2.5 out of a possible 15, wasn't it? 15, was it? Can I count?
Yeah, I'll take
five
that.
Threes.
Take that.
Yes, 2.5, not bad. To be fair, I'm not sure how many I'd have got if you turned it around the other way. I think I'd have probably got them all. But
obviously,
it's difficult when you're on the other end of the quiz. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's difficult when you're on the other end of the quiz. So hopefully this has satisfied. 2.5 points. So week one, 2.5 points. I will make a log of that and keep a note. What we can say is I hope that has satisfied Aidan Burke's thirst for quizzes upon the show. And other people have particularly liked it as well, actually. Our silly game shows and all that kind of thing.
Next time around, you are going to choose some films that are more from perhaps the 90s onwards, rather than the ones that you grew up with as you were kind of like a teenager into your early 20s.
I'm not that old, for goodness sake. But yes, I'll go to the other end of what I tried to do was I tried to pick films that are really well known to the majority of human beings. clearly not yourself, but that's okay. I will pick films late 90s onwards. Okay?
Yep.
How's that?
Sounds good. Okay.
Late 90s onwards.
No fantasy or kind of Star Wars or anything like that. I didn't watch any of them. So heads up now, if you put a Star Wars or a Star Trek based question in there, then the chances are I probably will get 0 points on that question.
Okay, right. So listeners, no Trek. No Star Wars. Trek, no Star Wars. No fantasy. So there'll be no Lord of the Rings. Okay, there won't be any You Shall Not Pass, any of that. There'll be no Gandalf the Grey or any of anything like that. I will try and pick different films then, late 90s onwards, and we'll see how we do.
You could choose any of the Bond films. I'll have a pretty good go at any of the Bond films.
Ah, yes. Okay. Well,
that'd be pretty good.
Some of those are earlier than the 90s, though, obviously.
Yeah, I know all of them. I've seen all of them, and I like all of those.
Okay. So you would obviously know, for example, something like No, Mr. Bond, I Expect You to Die.
Yes.
So who was that?
No, Mr. Bond, I Expect You to Die. I don't know who played him, actually.
that wasn't a bad impression. Who was it?
Yeah. Don't know. I'm trying to think of the film as well.
If don't know wasn't an option, what would you say?
Do you want the answers again? We're going to leave that there.
Goldfinger, wasn't it? It was Goldfinger. Goldfinger, not Ernst Stavro Blofeld. It was Goldfinger in the film Goldfinger, played by, wasn't it someone like Gerd something or other?
I'm not sure,
Who played, and I can't remember Goldfinger's first name.
No, I can't remember. Was Goldfinger the one with Oddjob, with a hat?
Yes, it was. It was, and Pussy Galore, wasn't it? And Honey, was it Honey Rider and so on and so forth, played by Honor Blackman.
Yeah.
Honor Blackman, there you go. I think it was Gerd Strang. It was something like that anyway. But that's it,
Gerd Strang,
really.
I think Gerd Strang is the designer for Durango or the Serpent Cars.
Well, look, a themed answer Durango in Clockwork Orange. See, Clockwork Orange uses a slang speech called Nadsat in the book, and there was an enormous amount of pop culture references taken from Clockwork Orange. Fact, fans, along with also, for example, films like Barbarella. That was in the 60s, so that's definitely before my time and yours. But Barbarella, for example, Logan's Run, where, for example, I think it was Barbarella where the main villain was called Duran Durand, which obviously became the 80s pop group, supergroup Duran Duran. So this is where all this pop culture comes from, you see. That's why it's important, young Alexander. That's why it is important. But that's enough nonsense for this show, I think. It's been lovely to catch up with you all. Where are we this weekend? Telford four-wheel drive regional. Looking forward to that.
Telford this weekend. And then next week we have Shifnal. We're at Shifnal this weekend.
Shifnal.
That's one for Richie Thorne. Shifnal. Shifnal this
weekend. Hashtag consistent, Richie. Hashtag consistent.
His favourite word.
his favourite. Consistent. And then Kidderminster.
Kidderminster the week after that for the National Saturday and Sunday.
So
we look forward to that.
Going to be awesome. Well, listen, guys, thank you ever so much for listening. Please share the show around. Tell your mates that it's out. It's lovely to have you on listening. It's really great. It's just me and Alexander talking RC and being silly. And we are thrilled that so many people ask after us. When's the next one on? And obviously we've hit a note with people that they like us being silly and irreverent and not serious. So we long to, we'll keep that up for you all. It's a privilege to be able to do it and have people listen to it. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thank you to our sponsor Schumacher and X Factory UK. We will catch up with you all soon. So it's time. It's good night from me and it's good night from him, isn't it, Alexander?
It is. Thanks, everyone. See you soon.
Catch you later. Bye.
See ya.